It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl, here we go. Here we go. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world, broadcasting from the tippy top of the world-famous Fox News headquarters in New York City. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, a man who is not lying about the latest jobs report. No, ma'am, the White House is.
This is total crap.
And we will take you inside the data to prove it, because even Democratic strategists like David Axelrod are saying to Joe Biden,
stop lying to us.
They are tired of the lies. We will break them down and sort them out in a busy Monday that also includes a total solar eclipse. I know you haven't heard that anywhere in your travels today, so I'm going to be the first one to break that news to you.
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
888-788-9910. If you'd like to help welcome me back to New York. I was out west this weekend. It was a mess.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
It was a fabulous way to go through Federal Way in Seattle, Washington, and, of course, Boise, Idaho. And last night we spent some time at the Ranger game with the Link Man. We were sitting on the glass, yelling and screaming at the goalie for the for the Montreal Canadiens. Poor Primo. He really heard it from the hecklers. And we want to hear it from you. 888-788-9910. You know the rules. You could be a Republican, you could be a Democrat, Libertarian, Independent. Just don't be a happy Monday. If you watch Fox News Saturday night this past weekend, thank you. It was great. Jenny Failla was on the show. She did a phenomenal job.
Wrong.
Stop it. Jenny did great. Michael Strahan, shout out to the NFL Hall of Famer Michael Strahan. And Charles Payne, if you didn't see the Charles Payne Off the Meter segment, just laugh out loud funny, coast to coast. And it was funny because Payne is, of course, a business mogul and a business host here on Fox News. Self-made multi-millionaire through the books he's written and the investments he's made and the shows he's hosted. He is a guy that is a shining example of the possibilities of life. And I say that why? Because Payne was driven to success by poverty. He was a guy that was born into abject poverty and talked about how his motivation to get rich and to determine and write his own story in life was very much driven from the circumstances he was born into. And he could achieve these goals. He could recognize these dreams because
freedom!
Okay, the world is filled with guys like Payne, guys like me, okay, who were very, very broke at one point in their lives, but kept on going and found a way to pull things together. And I mention that why? Because no matter how bad life is beating you down on this Monday morning, there is no rule that says you won't be on top of the world at some point soon, as long as you keep doing the work.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
So there you go. Now, economists who went inside the latest jobs reports, I just wanted to spend a minute on this. I know we got a lot to get to today. Economists not digging the jobs report because the key metrics that matter, okay, is, you know, the White House tries to tell you, well, this job report saw massive job growth, 300,000 jobs added in March alone. What they don't mention, number one, is that they were part-time. Okay, the vast majority of jobs added was part-time, not full-time jobs. The number of full-time jobs actually dropped by 6,000 jobs. So in the month of March, when the White House gets out there and goes, oh, we're adding jobs left and right,
it's nothing more than white noise coming from the White House.
But more importantly, okay, all of the net job growth, okay, in the past 6 years has been exclusively to foreign-born migrants.
Welcome to the Biden administration, home to the new slogan, America Last.
Okay, foreign-born migrants coming into this country illegally are the biggest growth sector in our economy. They've actually outstripped the gains of the American citizen by nearly 2.5 million jobs. So you think about that, this open border policy, all these economic gains they keep touting. Okay, what they're spinning as a success is actually kneecapping the country.
Country is being destroyed by stupid people, by very stupid people.
Okay, think about that. When you look at the jobs, it's crazy. 2.5 million, 2.5 million in the last 3 months, 2.5 million Americans have lost their jobs in the last 3 months. 2.5 million. Okay, consequently, in that same time period, employers have hired 929,000 foreign-born workers into their jobs.
But buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
Okay, so you understand the total number of foreign-born workers is now at a record high, all-time high of 31.114 million. And that's where the open border is such a detriment to you, the American citizen, whether you're Republican or Democrat. I'm not trying to get you mad at migrants, but the reason Democrats want open borders, the reason these big companies want open borders, is it provides cheap labor. And that cheap labor comes at the cost of employment to the American citizen. So this is where you're getting screwed, whether you're Republican or a Democrat or anything in between. And that's why I bring something like this up. But David Axelrod, and he's, you know, worth quoting in this instance, because David Axelrod is a top strategist and a tippy top, one of the most trusted confidants Barack Obama has.
Tell him like it is.
So when you hear Axelrod saying things in public, these are probably things Barack Obama agrees with in private. And here is Axelrod talking about how Biden should not be running on a successful economy.
Come on, man.
Because a newsflash is that it's not successful for anyone who's born in this country. Okay, so here it is, clip one.
I wouldn't go out there and extol the miracle of the Biden economy. It just drives me crazy when he does that.
And the reason it drives him crazy when it does that is because this is not a good economy. That's all it is. So what the White House has decided to run on, okay, if you've been paying attention, is, you know, Trump's going to end democracy. He's literally Hitler or something like that. You know, we're all going to die January 6th. But don't worry, because things are doing great under Biden. We are absolutely crushing it. But that's what they keep telling you. No, no, the economy's good. It's just the messaging is bad. People don't realize how good they've had it. Yeah, 2.5 million people lost their jobs in the last 3 months. But that's actually a good thing. They just don't realize it because of the messaging. I mean, guys, clown stuff. Straight clown stuff. Here's more Axelrod, though. Clip two.
The right strategy is to say, look, we've made a lot of progress from when the day I walked in the door as a country, and I'm proud of our country for fighting through this pandemic and getting our back to where we've got this much employment. But the fact is, the way people experience this economy is the way I did when I was growing up in Scranton, Pennsylvania. How much did you pay for the groceries? How do you afford the gas, the rent? And these continue to be a problem. And I'm fighting that fight. And then I'd go through a few things that, you know. So I think he needs to put himself on the side of working people in their economic fight.
I mean, come on.
Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
I mean, this is the problem with Biden, okay, is because they are traditional politicians, we're living in a different age now where being a traditional scripted propaganda act doesn't age as well. It doesn't read as well to people around the country when you try to run the confidence scheme that, no, no, it's working. It's going good. I mean, listen, your economy is better. Just because you can't afford gas, you can't afford groceries, you can't afford living, you've never had it better than you've had in this current moment. Again, it's clown stuff, but that's what they're going with. You know, he tells you, no, I'm Scranton Joe. I'm relatable. You know, I know what it's like. You know, my dad always said, Joey, a job is about more than a paycheck. Yeah, in this economy, a job is about a side job. And then maybe you're selling pictures of your feet on OnlyFans to bridge the gap between that and what you need to make. I mean, the point is there's never been a dumber or harder time to be alive than there has been under this presidency, where they're trying to sell you failures as successes. And I'm telling you this as a leader. You know, a lot of the elected class in Washington listens to this show. It's a trendy show in the Beltway. I get the messages every day. Okay, because I am a regular person. I am more in touch with the average voter than anybody who will ever run for office, because not only do I talk to you every day on the radio for 3 hours, but I meet 500 of you or 1,000 of you every weekend on the road, every single weekend. I'll be on the road in, my goodness, Huntsville, Alabama this weekend. Then I'll be in Fargo the following weekend. Then I'll be in D.C. I mean, think about that. Every weekend. Then we'll be in Sarasota. Then we'll be in Orlando. Then we'll be in Boston. Then we'll be in Indianapolis. Then we'll be in Dallas. Then we'll be in Pottstown, Pennsylvania. Then we'll be in Jersey. Then we'll be in Vegas. Then we'll be in Colorado Springs. Then we'll be in Biloxi, Mississippi. I got a crazy travel schedule. But the point is, I want to meet you. I am fascinated with meeting people. Like hearing your story, 2 or 3 quick minutes, signing your book, making a dirty joke, taking a selfie, on to the next one. Okay, but I enjoy it. And we have genuine, you know, candid conversations. And it would be so much more credible for any elected leader listening to the show to acknowledge mistakes from time to time. Live beyond the moment of the 24-hour news cycle. That's the biggest problem this administration has. They're so scared of losing today's news cycle that they're crushing your tomorrow. You know, you think about like the Afghan troop withdrawal. It was the biggest foreign policy disaster of the last 50 years. We're being laughed at around the world. And they got on TV and bragged that it was the most successful airlift in American history. They look like clowns to everybody. Because you could tell me, oh, no, we did a good job of getting people out of there. Okay, but why were you in a position to try to get people out of there? Because they pulled the troops out ahead of the civilians.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
And the government collapsed. And the army didn't fight. And the president fled with a suitcase full of cash. We abandoned our allies. We abandoned our interpreters. We became a laughingstock on the world stage. And instead of being like, hey, the generals misled me, I fired all of them. This was a miscalculation. America can't stand for this. We start over, you know, anew. This is intolerable. That would have made Biden credible. But if you think of that summer of 2021, the Afghan troop withdrawal, okay, Biden was up above water in the polls going into that August. He went underwater after Afghanistan and never came back.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
But he wouldn't be in as much trouble if he was just honest. The same thing with the economy. They could say, yeah, we've bounced back, pandemic. Okay, but most of the growth was not provided by this administration. It was provided by the fact that we didn't create new jobs. We recovered them. Okay, we did not create 12 million new jobs. Those 12 million people had those jobs pre-pandemic. Their industry shut down because of the lockdowns. When you reopen the economy and these people get to go back to work, those aren't new jobs. Those are their old jobs. Okay, if Jenny reads my Amex this month and sees all of the charges from flash dancers, I got a big problem. Okay, she might throw me out of the house. Okay, but understand, if she lets me back in next month, I didn't get a new house. I'm just back into the original.
Correctamundo.
Okay, and that's where Biden is incredible, is not credible on this issue. Here's a little more Axelrod, clip 3.
He was on the Today Show yesterday, and he got asked by Al Roker about a very simple question. It was at the Easter egg hunt, and Roker asked, you know, a lot of people are worried that their bucks aren't going as far. You know, what do you tell them? And instead of sort of doing what you'd expect Joe Biden to do, because he's a person of empathy who grew up in a working class circumstance, and identify with the concern, he said, you know, I would tell him we've got the strongest economy in the world, and you know, and he continues to do that. That is the wrong strategy.
You gotta do better than that.
Okay, and that's all he's saying to Joe Biden. It's the wrong strategy. People are telling you my money doesn't go as far. Groceries are up 26%. Gas is up 40 cents. 40 cents in the last month.
This could be a problem.
It's a huge problem for the average person living paycheck to paycheck, the working class. Okay, and this idea that you're going to, like, make them feel better about their future by just, no, well, pointing to broad data. Well, we've got a better economy than Sri Lanka. Should be glad you're not living in Sri Lanka. You know, you think it's hard here. But the point is, that's not a specific, that's not a deliverable, that's not a plan to improve anyone's quality of life. That's a plan to improve their own electoral prospects. But that's the problem with traditional politicians. This stuff doesn't work anymore. okay? When information is as readily available as it is now, when we are as interconnected on social media as we are now, when we can fact check politicians in real time, the vagaries Biden grew up campaigning on don't work. You could walk into a room in 1987 and go, yeah, I know some of you are hurting, but it's the best economy in the world. And that's the quote. And people go, wow, it's the best economy in the world. Things must get better for me any minute now because it's the best economy in the world. So, you know, hang in there. It's a rising tide. It's going to lift all boats, right? Except now they're calling it the best economy in the world. And it's not based on any actual data that affects you in your everyday life. It's just based on their own fever dream that's going to lead them to re-election. But that's the biggest challenge we have in this moment as Americans. Yeah, we've got an election coming, but you've got to live between now and then. You've got to get goods, you know. You got to put gas in your car. You've got to live in this economy that's not actually working. So when Biden gets out there and tells you it is, that's not a plan to improve your finances. That's the opening act at a circus.
The show that solves problems the old-fashioned way.
You and me are going to fight when that bell rings at 3 o'clock.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Did you know that every major diaper company either financially or vocally supports abortion? If that appalls you and you're looking to support a baby brand that aligns with your pro-life, pro-family views, then Every Life is your solution. Every Life firmly believes that regardless of where someone is from, what they look like, or whether they were planned or unplanned, every baby is a miracle from God worthy of love, protection, and celebration. Every Life offers high-performing, supremely soft, premium diapers and wipes delivered right to your doorstep. Their diapers are crafted without fragrances, dyes, lotions, latex, parabens, or phthalates. And you can feel good knowing that every purchase with Every Life contributes to changing lives through their support of pro-life organizations and pregnancy resource centers. Every Life is not just changing diapers, they're changing lives. Visit everylife.com to learn more. That's everylife.com. And don't forget to use promo code Duffy10 for an exclusive 10% discount on your first order today.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla back on the East Coast after a rowdy one in Federal Way. We're heading down Federal Way in Boise this week. We were at the Federal Way Performing Arts Center. We filmed that for TV. We're going to air some of that footage on Fox News Saturday night this week. And Boise, the Egyptian, was nuts. This coming weekend, we are down in Huntsville, Alabama, and we're excited about that. We're going to get to meet Tommy and Laura Daniel. They named their dog after my son, after the Link Man. So Lincoln finally gets to meet the dog. There were rumors of a Michael sighting if he can get past security. Everybody knows that guy has issues.
He should be behind bars.
A lot of people feel that way. But not to worry. Nobody goes to jail in this country. In the country we happen to be living in right now, nobody does go to jail. But what we're going to get to in the next break is getting past the fraud of this whole good economy and the economic platform Biden's trying to run on. Is the president is expected to speak today about more student loan forgiveness. Now, understand, student loan forgiveness implies that these loans are being forgiven. And as you know, they're not. They are passing the bill on to the taxpayer who didn't take out the loan. And more importantly, they're doing nothing to try and address the soaring cost of tuition. The reason people have a lot of student debt, okay, is one, college is expensive. Two, a lot of these degrees don't come with commensurate jobs. And three, okay, they can charge whatever the hell they want, you know, if there's a market for it. And for a long time, there was. Biden calling attention to the fact that these college costs have gotten out of control for the average student, his heart might be in the right place. But by passing the bill for these loans onto the taxpayer, okay, he's number one screwing the taxpayer, but number two, he's giving a college the right to charge even more. Because now they're saying, well, who cares if people are in debt? The White House will forgive it. The taxpayer will forgive it. And that's what's ultimately happening. The people who didn't take out the loans wind up paying for the people who did.
That's not right.
It's not right because it's denying them a lot of personal responsibility. But more importantly, it's not right because it's screwing over the taxpayer. But to add to that is the fact that the colleges don't have to get their acts together. So we'll give you a real plan when we come back.
reality with a bit of insanity. It's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
All right, so here we go, and this is what we need to know first. I'm obsessed with Spider-Man moments. What I mean is, you know how Spider-Man was bit by a radioactive spider that turned him into I Want to Be Spider-Man?
Right, right.
What made you want to be the business mogul that you are?
Poverty.
You got...
I was bitten by a roach. Like, oh, then I bit by a rat. I was like, oh, I got to get the hell out of here.
It's starting to hurt.
Although, I tell you what. I'd rather have roach skills than Spider-Man spider skills.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're not a great, you know,
think about this.
Superhero.
Yeah, Spider-Man gets replaced by a new Spider-Man, like, every 2 years.
Yeah.
If you got roaches, they're sticking around.
Exactly.
There's no Tobey Maguire roach followed by a Tom Holland roach. There's just the one guy. That's amazing.
Oh, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. That is a clip from Fox News Saturday Night. If you missed it, that was the great Charles Payne talking about how poverty was the motivator for all of his ambitions. Well, joining us now on the show for his weekly Monday review is a man who may have made a cameo appearance during the Ask a Cabbie segment. Michael's on the line. Michael!
Yeah, the TV folks obviously cashed that money order that I sent. So, yeah, you know, I had that going for me.
A money order. Good
hey,
for you.
Happy National Traffic Jam Day, my man. Oh, brother.
Are you on the road or do you take off? How does this work?
Oh, no. I am heading east. And I'm near Jacksonville.
Ooh.
Illinois.
Oh. I thought you were near my peeps on WOKV down in Jacksonville.
Oh, I wish. Now, in Illinois, and it's very nice. The clear skies. We're going to get to see some of it here in a little while. So, you know, we'll see.
Dig that.
But yeah, man. Charles Payne. Oh, my goodness. Off the meter with him. That was fun. What a great story that guy has, right?
I know. Because he was broke. And it was funny how he was talking about his dad was a military dad and gave him a hard time when he scored his first touchdown because he was looking back the whole time.
I'm like, yes. That's a good dad right there, man.
Yep.
So, hey, well, look, let's start from the top, though. Mm-hmm. We can't overlook the fabulous Jenny Failla.
How about it?
Class to join up for the whole hour. That was fantastic. And we learned that her first job was at a car wash.
Yep.
And she is still cleaning up the messes in your life today. She's got to do better.
Good for
Come
you.
On,
good for you, Michael. Now, Jenny was great.
All right.
Go ahead.
She was fantastic. Did she like being on there the whole hour? Or
yeah,
you know,
she got a kick out of it. She liked Kevin Walling hitting on her the whole time. She thought that was funny.
Well, there you go. The great Kevin Walling still glowing with that newlywed hope and optimism. Yeah, and he was totally hitting on your girl, man. What's going on there?
I almost got a free weekend, man. I was this close.
He seems like a fun guy, though. No, yep. I'm glad you have him on the radio a lot. He seems like a cool guy.
Yeah, he's good, man.
Oh, and Corinne Fisher seems like the kind of comedian that you would hang out with, right? Am I right?
Yeah, she used to open for me. When she first started, she used to come on the road with me and my buddy Ryan Reese, and she used to open the show. And she's good. She's a good, filthy act. She's a little nuts, but she's a good time and a great way to open the show. And by the way, she's liberal. Like, she's a hardcore liberal, but we don't care about having her on the show because she's funny. Like, it's Saturday night at 10 o'clock. You need people to be funny a lot more than you need them to be, like, politically active. Like, you get it, so I appreciate that.
Yes, yes. And we learned that her first job was at Victoria's Secret.
Oh, my God. Girl. Did you hear that perverted cameraman cheer? That was amazing. She's like, yeah, I worked at Victoria's Secret, and some random cameraman who we've never had in the studio before goes, woo! I was like, yo, get this guy out of here.
Well, not only that, but that whole crew, you had them laughing.
Yeah.
I've never heard the on-set crew laughing at what was going on in front of them. I love that, though.
Yeah,
it
was
so fun.
Yeah, nobody's having a better time than us. And you can confirm for the listeners, are we going to see you Saturday in Huntsville?
Yes, sir. We are. Me and the missus. I'm trying to work my way down to Georgia right now and drive over there. So absolutely. But wait a minute now. You trotted down the road to the International Auto Show where you did some curling.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah.
And then you sat in a Sydney Sweeney Mustang GT.
Yeah.
And that's the closest you'll ever get to her, buddy. Sorry.
That's enough out of you, Michael. All right. Pointed towards Georgia and Florida. I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, man.
We love you, man. Be good, Michael. The great Michael.
Get him out of here. Get him out.
Michael's out on the road. For those of you not familiar with the show, he watches my TV show every Saturday and offers us a review on Monday. For the most part, they've been largely positive. But that's deserved because nobody is having a better time on a TV than we are. I'm not telling you I'm any good at any of this. Just so you understand, I'm just good at enjoying myself. It's the only gear I have. And that show is just wall-to-wall fun. And that's why it does well. It's kind of like this show. Our superpower is the fact that we don't actually have one. So if you're not watching Fox News Saturday night, get that DVR out and set it right now and watch it every Saturday night. It's nuts. My family's on. Lincoln's on. Jenny's on. Last week we had NFL Hall of Famer Michael Strahan, Charles Payne, as we said. It's nuts. We do things. This week is even crazier. Danny Boy O'Connor's on. If you're listening on KRMG down in Tulsa, you know Danny Boy O'Connor because he owns the Outsiders House. And, of course, he's part of House of Pain, the rap group who brought you the song Jump Around. So Danny Boy is coming by, and we're going to have an interview. He's going to play a game called Rhyme and Punishment and a couple of fantastic comics. It's going to be nuts. The Dog Whisperer is on this week. Cesar Romero is going to train my dog Bixby live on the set. It's kind of show we're running. It's a free-for-all, but you need to see it. You need something to take the edge off because when you look at what's going on. So let me give you the breakdown on the student loan thing. I had mentioned this earlier. And we do pretty decent fundamental radio on this show.
Wrong.
Stop it. We do. Okay. Here is Biden. So what's going to happen today is the president is expected to unveil a new student loan forgiveness plan that would provide relief for more than 30 million borrowers. Under the new plan, they'd cancel up to $20,000 of a borrower's accrued interest regardless of their income. Now, that makes sense. Do you understand? Regardless of their income is what drives people crazy when they hear this, because regardless of their income means you could be giving these breaks to really rich people.
Bingo.
That's why you know this is not about providing relief. This is not about, you know, justice or equity or any of the fancy social justice terms. This is about buying votes. The Supreme Court has rejected this in the past. They're going to try and enact it again today because it's an election year. They don't have a tangible way to improve your quality of life. So if there's no way between now and election day for them to like pass a bill that'll lower costs, get energy under control, get the price of gas down. So instead, they try to juice your finances another way by going, hey, here's some free money. But you understand the money's not free because the bill comes for the rest of us.
Thanks, big government weenuses.
But when you hear that this is the strategy, you realize, you know, what a scam is playing out in real time because they are trying to give you the bill at a time when the economy isn't great already. You know, again, if you're sneaking into the country illegally, it's good. Here's a J.D. Vance clip from Sunday Morning Futures. I wanted to play this earlier. This is clip 14.
But over the last 3 or 4 years, much of the job growth from the Biden administration has gone to the foreign-born. Many of those, of course, are illegal aliens. If you contrast that with the Trump economy, Maria, which was about productivity enhancements, higher wages for American workers, more manufacturing, and ultimately better, good-paying jobs for American workers. With the Biden economy, where so much of the economic growth has gone to the foreign-born, has gone to illegal immigrants, while American workers struggle to feed their families and struggle to buy homes, struggle to actually live the American dream. It's a really, really sad state of affairs.
But understand everything he's saying is correct. I just read you the jobs report at the top of today's show. In the last 6 months, American workers have lost 2.5 million jobs. Foreign-born workers have added close to 1 million jobs in that same period. Think about that. If you're born here, you're a legal tax-paying citizen, 2.5 million of you lost your job. If you broke into this country illegally, 1 million of you got a job. So you're getting annihilated. But understand what they're doing at the White House level is they're saying, well, we still need people to vote for us. So, yeah, goods are expensive. You can't afford them. The grocery store's out of control right now. Okay, but what we can do is try to forgive some of the student loan debt that's out there because it will frame us as empathetic and make it seem as if we care.
That is a lie.
Because they don't care. Because, again, when you hear that this student debt relief is going to people regardless of their income level, it's like when they give subsidies for an electric car. Electric cars are owned by the most affluent members of society. Because the average sticker price for an electric car is so exorbitant compared to a traditional car that most people who own electric cars own more than one vehicle. Okay? 85% of electric car owners own more than one vehicle. Okay, why? Because some of them want to drive long distances and they need the day-to-day dependability of a gas-powered car. Okay, the biggest demand of growth right now is for hybrid vehicles, not for exclusive electric vehicles, but for hybrids that can run on both because they do have a longer travel capacity and they don't have the charging burden and the limited infrastructure of an electric car. But you understand the way the Biden administration tries to say, well, no, we're making electric cars for everybody because we've got this huge subsidy. You get $10,000 off or $15,000 off courtesy of the government, but now you're still paying $50,000 or $60,000 for a vehicle. So it doesn't actually save you money on the cost of gas, because if you don't have $4 a gallon for gas, you probably don't have $50,000 sitting around to buy you an electric car. But do you understand this is how they try to frame success? It's like the definition of a con man, if you're familiar with these teachings. A con man is described as someone who would steal your eyeballs and convince you he was doing you a favor. That's a lot of what we have in politics now. It's like you can't afford goods at the grocery store, but they're running on this is a good economy. You know, 2.5 million Americans lost jobs, but a million foreign-born migrants gained them. So they're like, this is a good economy. No, you don't understand. You have it good. They're trying to, okay, convince you you're doing a favor or they're doing you a favor while you're actively being harmed by their policies. And that's student debt forgiveness in the long run. Because student debt forgiveness is actively harming everybody because the taxpayer is getting the bill for a loan they didn't take out. But regardless of how you vote politically, it's ensuring that the cost of college will only continue to go up, which means we will have more student debt, which means we can either A, keep forcing taxpayers to pay it off, B, hold these people accountable for their own loans, which they don't want to do because you can't buy votes doing that, you know, or C, you need the market to correct itself. And the way the market would correct itself is if we did not forgive debt like this and let the word get out on the street that colleges are ripping people off. Okay, that's the reality. You go to these big schools now and get a degree in studying two-spirit penguins. Well, this is a penguin, but he identifies as a giraffe. And here's a degree so we know how to deal with penguins who identify as giraffes. Can you actually get a job when you get out of college? No, but you're $250,000 in debt. And the point is, if society is made to learn how stupid and dead-end a lot of these degrees are, the market will force colleges to correct and start shifting their focus towards jobs that will actually, or degrees that will actually result in you getting a job. If you're an art history major, as you know, that's a very fancy term for barista. You know, if you're an English lit major, again, that's what you're going to be doing. And understand, if the colleges have no cause to get these costs under control, then they can only continue to go up. It's like healthcare. The Affordable Care Act was a disaster for the cost of affordable healthcare.
Don't be thick, all right?
But it was. They called it the Affordable Care Act, but it's driven up premiums over 300%. For a lot of Americans, their copays, their deductibles are so high that you're better off using your car insurance. Like, crash your car and be like, no, I had to get my appendix out because I hit the wall and it bothered my appendix. It's not appendicitis. It was caused by the car crash. The point is, we're in this dumb spot. I mean, if you remember me telling you the story in the past, because of Obamacare, okay, when I was a cab driver, Jenny was working as a nanny. We were so poor, we got audited because the IRS didn't believe we could survive on that income. And they were like, well, surely you must be hiding some type of income. No, we just didn't have any money. Okay, and that's, and every time they tell you the IRS is only there to go after the rich, oh, good gosh. Okay, they dragged me in with a newborn who's about 5 months old because they wanted to go through every couch cushion and crevice in my taxi to find out where the other nickels and dimes were. Believe me, the poorest person living amongst us in society in the year 2009 was me. Okay, and yes, we still got audited. But the point is, when we were using healthcare on the exchange and Jenny needed to get her appendix out, it was cheaper for us to drop our healthcare and pay for it out of pocket than it was to exercise our copay and our deductible. Does that sound like affordable, good quality healthcare?
The answer would be no.
No, the answer would be no. But the bigger challenge to it, like student debt forgiveness, is when you don't confront the cost head on and you force other people to pay for this stuff, it makes the cost keep going up. That's what the Affordable Care Act did. They shouldn't have called it Obamacare. They should have called it the Affordable Care Act to juxtapose, to do this in English, the cost of the actual care versus the namesake of the bill, which is that it was supposed to lower the bill. The Affordable Care Act, it drove up the cost 300%.
What a fraud.
Of course, and they're out there every day telling you it is a success for you and me, and that's no different than what they're doing for student loan forgiveness or the economy as a whole. The very definition of a con man, convincing you, okay, that they're doing you a favor while they're stealing your eyes.
And I'm out here in the real world, and I know what's right or wrong or bullshit.
Call in now. We're excited to hear from you.
Who the is this?
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl, it is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We're going to be talking to Battle and Bill Hemmer in the next hour. Daniel Turner, founder and executive director of Power the Future, is going to stop by to discuss the eclipse and the claims of a Democrat Senate candidate that this past Friday's earthquake was caused by climate change.
Democrats are so full of crap.
Are they ever? We'll have a laugh. That's a little bit later on. Right now, we got to focus because we're in all hands on deck eclipse mode here at Fox News. It's funny. I'm watching the tail end of Outnumbered. They've got Harris, Kaylee, Kennedy's out there. I believe Martha McCallum is on the panel as well. It's either Martha or Ainsley. I can't see. I don't have the best eyes from here. But now they're out on Fox Plaza, and they're outside getting ready to hype this. Like, we are amped up for this eclipse over here on Fox. All the news networks are. Okay, it has begun in Mazatlan, Mexico. And if I'm pronouncing that wrong, forgive me. But this is the beginning, and now the eclipse will make its way up into America through Texas. So we now have 10 million and one things that have made their way up into America through Texas. Thanks, Biden. But we'll cover it. We'll keep you updated on the goings-on. And it is rare, okay? We last had one of these 7 years ago. We won't have another one until 2044. And I want to believe that this is a rare source of escapism where nobody's going to politicize anything and you can just go watch. Yeah, it probably won't be that way. My prediction is this time tomorrow. It's probably already happening. They're probably saying something right now on The View that's like, this is political or it's climate.
The View is awful.
We'll fact check my claim in the morning and see if I'm right or wrong. But I have a feeling I'm sure they're already there. We'll get into all of it so much more when we come back on Fox Across America.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl, here we go. Here we go. Big hour coming up of Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We're going to be rapping with Battle and Bill Hemmer about the eclipse that's apparently coming up later today, technically speaking. The 10 million thing to cross into our border from Mexico under Joe Biden. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about a big night of fundraising Trump had over the weekend. The Democrats have gone from this guy has no money to what, he made $50 million. Who the hell did he get it from? That's not good. It's crazy. But there's a lot of chicanery happening in the political world as we get underway in this hour. So we'll discuss it all. 888-788-9910. If you want to be a part of the show in this hour, you know the rules. I say them every day. I say them every hour. Be a Republican. Be a Democrat. Don't be a boom as we get back in action. I will say this, though. If you've been following this eclipse hysteria, as things go that no one will care about the second the eclipse is over, or the second the event is over. This is way up there on any of the lists you watch, you know, in terms of things that get big, 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 big hype, and then they happen and nobody cares. This is definitely one of the biggest in that.
That's true. That is true.
But I've been pointing people in the direction of the eclipse anyway, if only because it should be a source of bipartisan escapism. There shouldn't be a lot of political pugilism surrounding today's events. But knowing the way the world is, my prediction is this time tomorrow, I'll have three or four clips to play for you where someone had to politicize the events.
Oh, you're right. And when you're right, you're right. And you're always right.
There's always a side. For some people, that's the biggest issue. There has, like, nobody ever lets anything go in this day and age. Doesn't matter what we're talking about. So, you know, people draw a battle line in the sand. And it drives me crazy. You guys have heard me say this before. You know, even places like sports and late night comedy, movies, they're no longer places where we put our political differences aside. A point I make a lot is when I was a little kid, my white parents yelled at me for having too much ice cream. Now my Ben and Jerry's ice cream yells at me for having white parents. Okay? It's not supposed to work that way. We're supposed to just shut up and eat our frickin' ice cream. Oh, no, not to nowadays. No, you pick up the pint and it's lecturing you about how you're eating it on stolen land and you need to check your privilege and... Really does kill the mood. The mood down at Mar-a-Lago this weekend. We haven't covered a lot of Trump on the show. The mood down at Mar-a-Lago, Trump had a $50 million fundraiser. A $50 million fundraiser on Saturday night. We're being told it was held at the home of billionaire John Paulson, co-chaired by business mogul Robert Bigelow, former WWE executive Linda McMahon, Steve Wynn. Real estate developer. He developed the Mirage and, of course, the Wynn out there in Vegas and the Bellagio and everything else. John Castamatidis owns WABC Radio here in New York and a Gristiti supermarket chain, former Georgia Senator Kelly Loeffler. So a lot of rich people show up. Trump makes $50 million. Okay, of course, the Democrat response to something like that is...
He should be behind bars!
Where's the money coming from? Is Russia involved? I don't know what's going on. This isn't good. So, like, if you're keeping score at home, last week, the Biden administration literally running ads about their spending advantage over Trump. Now Trump makes some money, and it becomes, whoa, wait, oh, where's this money coming from? I don't understand. And that's the, you know, have it both ways approach to politics that we're watching right now. And it's why so many people are disenchanted when it comes to the performance art of modern politics. A lot of people are like, come on, what is this? This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But as we get on the way, that's the headline number one for Trump. Headline number two is very much abortion. The president unveiling a stance on abortion earlier today on Truth Social and, you know, is essentially saying it should be a state's rights issue, okay, that each individual state has the right to determine just how much abortion it will grant access to. Now, pro-life people are upset about that, okay, because they want, you know, a full ban on abortion. The problem is that's never going to happen at a federal level because in order to do so, they'd need a supermajority in the Senate. They haven't had in over 175 years. Okay, so that day isn't quite coming because the vast majority of the American people support abortion. They just support it with limits. Okay, 80% of the polling on abortion says keep it to 15 weeks or less. And we're in agreement. Okay, states are going to be more extreme than that in terms of restricting access. And there are certainly going to be liberal states that let it go on much longer. But the reality is, if we could get to a place where the federal, you know, agreed upon level was 15 weeks, we would be on par with countries who have great human rights records, countries all over Europe. Okay, right now, our stance on access to abortion puts us on par with North Korea and China. Two of the biggest human rights abusers in the world. So it's not necessarily a class you want to be in. Here is Politico. Okay, the head of news at Politico, Alex Burns, on ABC this week, outlining Trump's messaging on the issue. This is clip four.
I do think there is a consistency to Donald Trump, not in terms of his ideology, but in terms of when he gets uncomfortable with consensus views of the Republican Party. We saw it after Parkland, that he had that moment of wavering on whether maybe we should do gun control because he sees the same headlines as everybody else and reacts on a visceral level. We see it now on abortion. He That's clearly right. isn't comfortable being where the right flank of the party wants him to be on this issue. I don't think he's going to oversee some pullback from the American-Israeli relationship, but I do think there's a familiar set of instincts at play there when he sees these kinds of images and these kinds of stories and just sort of balks at the idea of putting his name on it.
Okay, so he's not completely wrong on that. Like, Trump is very impressionable when it comes to the headlines, which is why he listened to Fauci and shut down the economy and cost himself the 2020 election.
Fauci's just pulling stuff out of his butt.
I mean, Fauci was actually trying to cover his butt in 2020 because we now know they went to great lengths to deny the fact that COVID originated in a Wuhan lab. Fauci didn't want it out there because we were funding that Wuhan lab to perform gain-of-function research. So in the onset of the pandemic, Fauci, who was calling for aggressive lockdowns, Trump, who was reading headlines saying we're all going to die, Trump doesn't know how to guide us on COVID, he's not taking it seriously enough, even though Trump was well ahead of every liberal politician on COVID, when Trump banned flights from China in the last week of January 2020, the Democrats said it was racist and xenophobic, and now was no time for that kind of bigotry. But then when COVID actually hit us hard the first week of March, every Democrat said what? Ah, Trump waited too long to act.
This is politics as usual.
Totally. Okay, because they were criticizing him for acting too soon on the flights from China. Then they were trying to claim he acted too late, even though their judgment was 2 months behind his. It's fraud. It's what they do. But that being said, in that eye of the storm moment, Trump was impressionable to the headlines. And I think when it comes to his position on abortion, although he appointed the Supreme Court justices that ultimately repealed Roe versus Wade, I think Trump is more along the lines of a Nikki Haley on abortion, which is we should accept as a society that it's always going to be there. We'd just like it to happen in a more humane fashion. Because the truth is, most abortions performed now, it's over 60%, are performed chemically by pill through the mail. They're not actually performed at clinics. That number is higher than 60%. But anyway, here is a little more Alex Burns, and then I'll give you Trump. Alex Burns weighing in on Wall Street Journal polling being bad for Biden. This is clip 5.
The current president's response to a lot of bad polling over the last few months is, well, you're looking at the wrong polls. There are other polls where I'm doing significantly better. And actually, in fairness to him, there are some national polls the last couple of weeks where he seems stronger. But Martha, as you know, elections are won and lost at the state level in this country. And if you're a Democrat looking at those numbers in a place like Michigan or Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, the former and in 2020 rebuilt blue wall, you certainly feel nervous about that.
Oh, they absolutely feel nervous about that. I mean,
we choose truth over facts.
Well, that's not going to help you. But that is what he's doing in a roundabout way. He's making up his own truth and ignoring the facts. Biden is losing in every one of these states. So if you wanted to talk about this from a political level, Trump is absolutely positively right to be making abortion a states' rights issue, okay, because most things are supposed to be. The federal government is not supposed to be the be-all, end-all decree for what we do in individual states. So Trump's abortion position, while it's not going to pop with the far-right traditional D.C. conservative, it's also worth noting that Trump has never been one of them. Trump was a liberal 10 years ago, donating to liberal politicians. That's reality. Okay, as he got older, okay, I do think he gravitated more towards conservatism and more towards patriotism, if only because he realized how much it benefited him and his father. Okay, his father, Fred Trump, in building the business empire that Trump ultimately inherited some money from and built on himself, okay, was able to do that because of the country he lived in. And I think this happens to a lot of older people who have lived lives of prosperity. They do become more conservative as they age because they realize just how much limited government benefits entrepreneurs. They see how much limited government and a lack of regulation and a lack of red tape helps ambitious people get ahead because it allows them to write their own story. And when it comes to abortion, he very much sounds like a guy in favor of letting each individual state write its own story. Here it is, clip 6.
My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint, the states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land, in this case, the law of the state. Many states will be different. Many will have a different number of weeks, or some will have more conservative than others, and that's what they will be. At the end of the day, this is all about the will of the people. You must follow your heart, or in many cases, your religion or your faith.
And that's it. Okay. And he's not wrong about that, because here's a newsflash, guys. Repealing Roe versus Wade didn't ban abortion, as a lot of Democrats aggressively and effectively fundraised off of. Okay, all it did was send it back to the states. They claimed, oh, it's denied, the death of democracy. That's what the Democrats were telling us. This is the death of democracy.
Would you shut up?
But that's what they were saying. When in fact, it going back to the states meant people would have a voice on a state-by-state level instead of having federal law. Okay, Roe versus Wade was always on shaky legal ground. Any credible legal scholar admitted so, but it was acceptable practice for the better part of 50 years before a case made its way to the court, triggering a full-on review of the law, which ultimately resulted in its repeal. Now, it didn't outright ban abortion or criminalize abortion nationally. It just gave states to do what they wanted to do based on their voters' opinions. And that's where pretty much everything we do should be done. Okay, bureaucrats in Washington should not be determining how much freedoms you do or don't have, or what you drive, or what you eat, or what you wear, or anything in between, as they're trying to do with the climate movement. So as much as the far-right pro-life people don't like the Trump position today, okay, there's a reality that what he's doing is more in line with the Constitution than any other position he could have taken. Okay, and ultimately, if you are a true conservative, and you are looking for an alternative to the heavy-handed governance we're getting out of this administration, then today is a victory. Is it a perfect abortion policy for you, the hardcore pro-lifer? No, and I get that. But you can't let perfect get in the way of better, because that's what this is about in the end, is some type of tangible progress. Because if Trump allows this to be a states' rights issue, and we start having this conversation at a state-by-state basis, we have a much better chance of getting abortion to a place that's based on fact instead of weaponizing social pressure to say that if you don't support unlimited access to abortion like the Democrats do, you're the monster. I promise you, history will not record the pro-life crowd as the monsters. History will not record the 15-week limit on abortion crowd as the monsters. Okay, the people allowing abortion up until birth, okay, in the rare instances that it happens, okay, I understand if the life of the mother is at stake, absolutely they should get abortion, okay? And who are we to speak out on behalf of victims of rape or incest? I don't think that should be my decision to make. I genuinely don't, okay? And you'd like to see more options encourage adoption and things of that nature. But if it comes to something like rape or incest, I shouldn't be speaking for that person, and I don't think you should either, okay? Now, you're entitled to your opinion, this being America. But I think what Trump might be doing here in playing the long game on this issue is forcing America to have the conversations we never have based on when the baby is viable, based on when the baby can feel pain, based on what the limitations to that should be. Because I think if we had a more informed population, I think we would have a bigger appetite for stricter restrictions on abortion. And at the end of the day, that's all we're ever trying to be, okay, is people having an honest conversation. Because everybody on the other side of this thing is just basically telling you you're the devil if you don't agree with them, okay? And that's not speaking to the facts of the issue. That's not speaking to the well-being of the babies. That's not speaking to the well-being of the parents. That's just speaking to the well-being of someone's political views. And that's exactly what we're trying to avoid on this show.
Bingo, man, bingo.
The show that's not afraid to tell you the truth.
Not only are you not a very nice person, you're also a slob.
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla battling Bill Hemmer around the corner. So we have a grown-up talk about all things 2024. So here's a clip I wanted to play for you earlier. Okay, we went from like, oh, hell, Trump's got no money, to where the hell is the money coming from? Here's Michael Tyler on MSNBC. I love this. Clip 9.
the lack of fundraising that you see out of the Trump campaign, but as important is how they are raising it. He's down in Mar-a-Lago tonight with a bunch of billionaires, people like John Paulson, who not only wants to cut Social Security, but he's famous for, as a hedge funder, rooting against the American economy, betting against the American economy. So I guess it's no surprise that he's investing in somebody like Donald Trump, who's rooting for the economy to crash. But the whole lot of them is a bunch of billionaire scammers, extremists, and racists who understand that if they fund Trump's legal fees, he's going to cut their taxes while he cuts our Social Security. And so that's just the fundamental contrast that you have between the fundraising operation that we're building up and how it's allowing us to communicate with the voters and the money that Trump's raising from a bunch of billionaires that's doing nothing more than paying off his legal fees right now.
That was embarrassing.
So we went from this guy's got no money to look where the money's come. This isn't good.
Democrats are so full of crap.
But it's amazing because they were openly crowing on Friday that he had no money. The Biden-Harris campaign posted, oh, Trump's got no money. He's spending all his money on legal fees, with no acknowledgement of the fact that he only has legal fees because they are openly targeting their political opponent.
Correctamundo.
Seriously, why does Trump have legal fees? Because we are living in a banana republic world where the people in power are targeting their political opponent. Trump is being charged for things. Trump is being charged for things right now in an election year that he technically could have been charged with 3 years ago. 3 years ago. Okay, if you're going to charge him for January 6th, it happened in 2021. You could have charged him in 2021. If you're going to charge him for Stormy Daniels, it happened in 2015. 2015. So they've had a 9-year window to charge him on that. If you wanted to charge him for the aftermath of the 2020 election, again, 3 years ago. Okay, if you wanted to charge him on this bogus overvaluation of his properties, which is ultimately going to get thrown out, that could have happened at any point in the last 10 years. The fact that it's all happening right now in this moment makes it irrefutable that these are political persecutions, because there's no other explanation. We're not charging him now based on new evidence, witnesses that came forward. The only thing coming forward right now is Election Day. And they realized they needed to stop this guy's momentum. So on the one end, you've got Democrats being like, look at the guy spending all the money on legal fees so he doesn't have any. Well, yeah, that's because you guys are indicting them. But then when the money comes rolling back in, they're like, oh, hell, where's all this money coming from? Who raises cash like that? And the point is, they are all full of
it's the morning show that overslept. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
You hear a track as smooth as Hall & Oates, I can't go for that. Can only mean one thing. Joining us now in studio, if anybody commands a smooth intro, it's the co-host of America's Newsroom, battling Bill Hemmer, yeah, who returns to the program. Hey, man.
One-on-one, I want to
play that game tonight. Great one. Hall & Oates got quite a catalog. Uh-huh. If you get into it. Except Maneater is now called Them Eater. You got to take the pronouns out. You know, we don't need these guys.
And they're canceled. Each other's throats, apparently.
They hate each other.
What's up with that?
You know, I always laughed about this, Hemmer. When rock bands break up, because it's like, uh-huh, they're living the greatest life known to man.
Right.
They just play music and run around with supermodels and fly from, they got the best drugs. They're flying on private jets. And at some point, they're like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, it's ego.
Is that what it is?
It's ego.
That's what broke up Hall & Oates.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no hope.
So. Cheers to you, by the way.
Yeah, how
brother.
About it?
It's been a minute. It's been a couple of weeks. So, you know, why don't you go ahead and fire away and we'll just.
The Eclipse Monday.
We'll sling this thing against the wall.
Hemmer is here. He's got the goalie pads on. We'll start shooting on him as we do. So it's Eclipse Monday.
Mm-hmm.
There's a point we're both in a similar mind space about this. So P. Diddy once rapped that it's all about the Benjamins, but it's not necessarily politically expedient to be quoting P. Diddy these days. But I will parody it's all about the Benjamins and saying what we agree, which is that it's all about escapism when it comes to the eclipse.
1,000%.
That's the value of today, whether you care or not.
1,000%.
You got a few hours that we probably won't fight politically over this.
Yeah, you know, and we were able to find the coolest tunes going back a week,
uh-huh,
that relate to the sun or the moon or the both or the stars or whatever it is. And
uh-huh, love it.
We queued them up.
Thank you.
We're not talking about dirty scumbag squatters.
Yeah, ever. And give it to them.
Major American
no,
city.
I agree.
You know, I'm with Fetterman on this.
Yeah.
Who gives you the right to go ahead and take that place?
Have you ever heard of this? It's like it's so mind-blowing to me that the idea that we should be affording any rights to the guy breaking the law.
That's nuts.
It's upside down.
Yeah, so you watch this stuff, and you're like, oh, man, this isn't right. And then we do another story, and you say to yourself, well, that ain't right.
No.
And then we got all these folks coming over an invisible border. You're saying, that ain't right either.
No.
So at least today we can take a break from that and say, all right.
Yeah.
This doesn't happen every day.
As I said earlier, this is technically the 10 millionth thing to come into our country through Mexico under Biden.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the eclipse.
That's a good one.
And away we go.
Yeah, but she just crossed Mexican territory.
Did she ever? Yeah. But you know what I love about the eclipse, though, this year's path of totality?
Uh-huh.
It is through America, my people, Arkansas, Texas, Ohio, America.
America, Indiana.
Oh, is
Indiana
it ever?
Indiana gets no attention for crying out loud.
No, and now
they will next year when Caitlin Clark plays.
Yeah, she starts
them.
Playing ball over there.
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark, I hope you didn't take the points in that game yesterday. Put up a heck of an effort. South Carolina was a small favorite.
They
covered.
What was
I think it was
spread?
2.5, Mikey. Mikey would know. What was it? Oh, was that high?
It was eight
and they covered. I didn't realize it was that high.
USC, a good team.
Yeah.
Good team. They changed the game this year, the women did. I'm telling you.
It was, because you know what they had going with this rematch between her and Angel Reese? They had a magic bird thing for women's basketball.
I totally agree.
Good recurring storyline, and it'll be good for her, and it'll boost interest in the WNBA.
Yeah, and she goes to Indiana.
Yeah.
I mean, what's some more? I mean, unless you're going to play basketball for Springfield, Massachusetts, and I don't think Springfield has a WNBA.
No, they don't.
So let's go to the Hoosier State. Right?
They do have a Six Flags. That's what they have going. Six Flags. They have that NBA Hall of Fame. Yeah. But Bill Hemmer is here on Eclipse Monday. He demanded to be on the show.
Do you like the story or not?
Listen, I'm with you. I enjoy the diversion of this, but what I've predicted for my audience, and I promise you, because we're living in an America where everything has to have a side now, and it's the thing I enjoy the least about social media, is I've predicted for the viewer, I'll have at least three clips by this time tomorrow where someone did try to politicize this. It's like the fundraising email off the earthquake that went out in northern New Jersey. Yeah. One of the dumbest things you'll ever watch.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, phenomenal coverage. I should have texted you about this.
About what?
Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm flying out to Seattle to do my stand-up gig Friday night. The guy in front of me, I see him showing his phone to a fellow passenger about an earthquake in New York. Mm. So what do I queue up in row 3A on Delta?
Uh-huh.
But
3A,
Bill Hemmer's
like
break.
That.
But Bill Hemmer's breaking news coverage in the 11 a.m. hour. You're pitching extra innings here,
right.
And you're on the
into
air.
The noon hour.
Yes, and you're on the air with Molly Line, and we're now taking live breaking earthquake coverage
for 4 hours.
Yeah,
well, when we knew the story was over two hours ago,
it was already over. And I also know it's Friday, which means Perino's on to her third Bellini. She's taking dog photos on a beach somewhere. And there's Perino. And there's Hemmer going extra innings.
Yes.
High pitch count for Hemmer.
Hitting deep.
I love it. But it was great coverage. I was watching you on the plane. And it was fascinating to me because there was, within a few moments of it happening, an effort to politicize. So my prediction is by this time tomorrow, we'll hear something dumb. It won't age necessarily well. Yeah. But I think for this sweet spot of 4 or 5 hours, we get escapism.
Yeah, so I did that for about 4 hours on Friday.
Uh-huh.
And I think between Perino and I, we were the only two people in New York who did not feel it.
Yeah. My son Lincoln was on the way to the Yankee game with my brother. They didn't feel anything.
Yeah.
The Yankees were on the field taking early
correct,
BP,
yeah.
Which is fascinating because they didn't play like they took extra BP. They got shut out.
Nice.
The last time the Yankees got shut out opening day was 1967.
Mm.
So that was the tail end of the Mantle career.
Yeah.
That's when he was getting paid in Rheingold and playing first base.
Got it.
And but the Yankees did get shut out, and I don't attribute any of that to the earthquake.
Yeah.
But they bounced back over the
weekend. You know what I thought was commendable is all of our colleagues clearly knew that Dana and I were struggling to bring some sort of content to the story. And they were emailing and texting us from everywhere. Jimmy, hang on. New Jersey, Connecticut, New York, Long Island, Pennsylvania. I was like, wow, this is a work from home Friday. Because no one's here.
Nobody.
But they helped us keep the balls up in the air, which is what you need to do.
You got it done.
News.
I was watching on the plane. Yeah. One of my favorite things to do.
So that's that.
So Bill Hemmer's in studio. The other ground-shaking event this weekend in politics was a $50 million fundraiser down at Mar-a-Lago. Uh-huh. Trump getting some money back into the game. And it sounds like he had a good month now that he's hooked up with the RNC.
Yeah.
It sounds like money's coming in a little more.
I think they're down. I think the DNC and Biden are up 2X on them.
Yes.
I think they're about $192 million and they're $92
million. Uh-huh.
I think they can close some of that gap.
Yeah.
They won't close all of it. I think Democrats will have more money.
Mm-hmm.
Money doesn't always win, as we know.
No.
It can help fund the project, however. Hillary spent more money in 2016. We saw what happened there.
Yep.
There were a lot of big boys at that.
Yeah.
Big boys and big girls. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Big cash down there.
They are not poor after Saturday night. I think there's going to be more of it.
Yes.
A lot of it toward Trump. I think the Biden stuff is predictable.
Mm-hmm.
What I do think's a little out of hand, however, is Biden said, well, this is pretty obvious. This is a campaign of Scranton versus Palm Beach. Well, BS.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw how you shut down Midtown Manhattan.
How many Scrantonites paid $100,000 to get into Radio City?
I mean, just so your listeners know, they rolled 20 dump trucks up in front of Radio City Music Hall to keep it safe.
Yep.
They had two ex-presidents and a current sitting president. They allowed no media to come inside Radio City to film it.
Yep.
They only gave limited snippets out to the public. Let's talk Scranton versus Palm.
Because I got some family out in Scranton, and I got to be honest, nobody canceled the bowling league in the Lackawanna County tournament Thursday night.
I hear you.
Because they blew $100,000 on Radio City tickets.
So it's just a little disingenuous,
yes,
is my point.
No, I agree. Bill Hemmer's in the studio, if you're just joining us. But that is ultimately how they're going to frame this election, is they tried to claim the fundraiser was his backdoor handout for more tax cuts for the rich, and this is Trump selling out to the big guy.
Yeah.
But one of the big, you know, when you talk about the smoke screens, or at least the mischaracterization of the Trump tax cuts, is even the New York Times was forced to acknowledge that the Trump tax cuts benefited most people down the lower end of the economic ladder.
Yeah, I thought it's very interesting how they, because I didn't get it. I didn't understand it. I lost from the Trump tax cuts.
Because it depends on your property taxes, really.
That and also your write-offs were eliminated.
Yeah.
You're gone.
Yep.
But what I came to understand what they were doing was they were trying to increase the market cap of American companies.
Yes.
And once you do that, they spend more money.
Yes.
On employees, research and development, and then the employment number drops, which is what the net effect of that was.
Well, that's where class warfare comes at such a detriment to the average worker. It's weird that a lot of the things they frame, we covered this on your show. You and Dana did this on Newsroom last Monday. The very predictable fallout from the minimum wage increase in California is we've already seen businesses close.
Yes,
we've seen prices go up.
Employees laid off.
And of course, and it's framed as empathetic, but it's because the compassion collides with the common sense in the worst way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's ultimately what happens. So I think their messaging, and it's funny that David Axelrod is speaking to this on a podcast over the weekend, that Biden should stop this messaging on the economy's good. Because at the end of the day, there's no amount of messaging that offsets what you see at the cash register or in your bank
account.
Yeah,
that's a very interesting point. I think economists are picking up on the same thing, because nothing. I read a piece over the weekend that Dana and I were talking about, and it was the whole idea about what inflation does to your message and your policies, because everybody sees it.
Yeah.
Having said that, I'm pretty sure, Jimmy, that we're going to $4 gasoline this summer.
It's not pretty right now.
You know, it's $3 in December. It was $3.50 last month. It's going to be $4 soon.
It ain't pretty.
Right? So you go from the grocery store to the gas station, and you go home unhappy.
Yes. It's not good, Emmer. But it's the one signature achievement of the Biden administration is arson is down 91%. So people can't afford to torture houses at these prices.
Oh, my gosh.
You got to look for that silver lining.
Mostly peaceful protests.
That'll never be lived down. That'll never be lived down, Hemmer. So as we turn here to the bottom of the ninth in this interview, we can we know we're now reading off the monitors.
Yes.
Okay, here at Fox.
Solar eclipse
on its
moving
way
across
North America.
Uh-huh. And then that just drops.
We've got
Northern America.
Yeah, Northern America.
Where's Northern America?
Yeah, I know.
Check that.
Can we talk to the Chiron guy? Yeah. There we go, North America.
Jimmy, call studio. You know people here.
It'll make its way. So 31 million people live
here.
There
we go. Solar eclipse moving across North America.
North America.
You and me, we're not so stupid.
No, me and Hammer doing the breaking news right here. Doing the breaking news right here. It's going to go New Hampshire. It's going to go to Maine, Westchester, Rochester. Good areas. Good barbecue paths.
Yeah, I would say Indianapolis, Bloomington, the lovely Charlotte Marie Gerhardt was baptized on Saturday.
You. Yeah, there's a lot of
lovely events. Evansville, Indiana.
I believe.
Birthplace of William Ronald Hemmer. My pops would be 85 in a couple of weeks. I could keep going on and on.
No, just keep please. Please do, because I got nothing on this eclipse.
I think it's crossing a town that I've never even heard of, and I used to drive steak body Ford trucks up and down U.S. 27 on the east side of Indiana.
Stop it.
Economy, Indiana. Never knew it was even
that's
out
a real
there.
Place.
Then we move up past Bowling Green, Toledo, Cleveland, BG. Buffalo, BG.
Love it.
Falcons are flying home.
The route.
Then off to Canada, she sails.
The Route 90 corridor through Erie, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Do you know a mutual friend whose name comes up on the show from time to time? Our man Tom Lowell is an Erie guy.
Uh-huh.
And Lowell once told me in a meeting, because I was telling him I played the colleges up there when you first started out.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, well, how do you get a book in Erie? I go, well, you got to piss off your agents. kid. Thankfully, he can take a joke. But it's funny because that is the corridor. This is the America eclipse.
Yes.
It's going right through America.
Little Rock.
Yeah.
Dude, Round Rock, Texas, before that, home of Rick Perry.
Yep. Rick, is that true? Rick Perry?
I think it's Round Rock or Rock Bottom, one or the other.
Who can name the branches of government if you give him time? Do you remember that? To
spot him, clip? Too. He'll nail it.
But I love it because I feel like we have real escapism. And I think that's got to be why we're leaning in as hard as we are.
Yeah.
Even I'm looking over to CNN Chiron right now. They've got a countdown till totality. And they're saying it's exactly 2 hours right now.
Here is my question. Yeah. Whose totality?
Yeah, because it's in multiple time zones.
Depending on where you are.
Thank
is it
you.
New York's totality?
Uh-huh.
It probably is. Martha be on the air. We'll be out there with her.
Yeah, we'll be. Are you getting out there?
Absolutely. I'm gonna miss this.
I got to make a cameo on American Reports during the commercial break in the next hour. Because, when I think meteorologist and solar systems, I think Jimmy Failla.
I think Jimmy Failla has... nothing on Janice Dean.
I mean, I do look like I get paid in Milky Ways, but I don't know that makes me the astronomist they're going to need me to be.
Like, what are you going to offer? What are you going to say? What have you thought about? What were the pre-interview thoughts that you share with her?
See, team? The beauty of me is I'm a live ammo guy, and I'm at my best if you just throw it to me on the air and I have to do the old trust your average, push the button, and that's where I see this thing heading because there's no correct.
So you would literally do that without knowing where you're going?
Yeah, like I have a take, but that's like most of my hits. Do you know that? Like I read everything, so I have a collective take from hosting the show.
Do you ever know when you're going to stick the landing? Or do you know where you want to stick the landing?
I mean, I have an opinion, and I know I want to get out of a thought and leave everybody room to talk and contribute to the discussion. I think what people do wrong, if you wanted to get into good fundamental TV really quick,
please.
I think as a guest, the best thing you can do is not show up to talk. It's to show up to listen. Because you'll wind up being contextually accurate with whatever you want to offer to the conversation. And I think if you show up, I tell this to comics specifically. It's the reason you don't see a lot of comics doing hits on the channel is we're used to being the only ones talking. So you might show up with a joke in your head that you love that fits in a you're the only one talking scenario, but doesn't necessarily fit other people are talking.
1,000%.
Yeah, so you've just got to show up. We're all Steve Kerr. Remember how Steve Kerr and the Bulls were just sitting in the corner waiting to hit an open three?
Yes.
That's your job as a comedian in cable news. But most people don't think like Steve Kerr. They show up thinking like Jordan, which you want to handle the ball and move around and
score.
Create your
score.
Own
wait,
jumper.
Wait, you it's tip-off. I need to score right now.
And you can't be. You got to be Steve Kerr. But Bill Hemmer, you've got an eclipse to go cover.
Yes, I do.
Noted.
I am going to head to Fox Square.
He's heading to Fox Square. He does it all.
Right around 3:10 Eastern time. I don't know, what's that, hour and 20 minutes from now?
Listen, if you can handle...
Things will get dark.
If you can handle 4 hours of an earthquake where nothing happened, I feel nothing. Like having actual totality, you've got a lot to work with today.
I think we've got some material.
Give him hell out on the square, Hammer.
Thanks, boss.
We're back after this.
It's the fastest part of your workday.
Wow, you're pretty quick for a big guy.
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl, it is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Next hour, we're going eclipse heavy. We'll get into some really silly really silly climate change claims. Daniel Turner's coming by. He's the founder and executive director of Power of the Future. He is going to be here, and we will. We'll indulge in the eclipse stuff for a little bit, if only because it offers us pure escapism for the most part. Are we going to have some type of clip tomorrow about climate change or the earthquake being climate change? 1,000%. Okay, but for the most part today, people are going to be outside looking at this phenomenon, something we don't experience very often in this country, and something I think we would all benefit from indulging in. Whether you care about eclipses or not, it'd be nice to stop fighting for a few hours politically.
I think he's got a point.
Listen, I have built a radio empire and now a TV empire off of that point. People want escapism more than you realize. And whether you realize you need it or not, you do. Because we're not, you know, doing anything productive by just beating each other senselessly. The political pugilism comes at a cost to all of us. That's the point of this show. That's the point of the TV show, is you people need to chill out.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
Why do you think I'm always pushing stand-up dates? Like, I got to do them either way. I've already signed the contract. But the reason I tell you to come and the reason I stick around to meet you guys for hours on end is I am trying to be that driving force in our politics that brings us to a place of rational discussion. Am I pulling it off? No. But the movement is growing. Everybody's still ready to kill each other when it comes to politics. That's a whole thing. But we're going to keep doing our part to lighten the mood in the next hour. So buckle up, Buttercup. Back after this on Fox Across America.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, yes, it is. We are back in action for another power hour of Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, a man who is not trying to fundraise and piggyback on the recent earthquake by linking it to climate change. No, ma'am, a Democrat is.
Democrats are so full of crap.
Are they ever? But when it comes to climate change, there is a motivation for such foolery.
Money, 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 money.
We will tell you about one as we get ready to march onward towards today's big total eclipse. It is totality is the big fancy word they're using. We're going to discuss it in this hour with Daniel Turner, who is, founder and executive director of Power the Future, who is also our climate change to English dictionary. When it comes to the goings-on regarding the climate, Turner is frequently able to take what the Democrats are saying and translate it into a language we all understand.
Please give us money.
That's pretty much all they're saying. But if you'd like to give us your take, 888-788-9910. As we roll on a big Monday, 888-788-9910. You know the rules. You could be a Republican, you could be a Democrat, Libertarian, Independent. Just don't be a... As we roll into this hour, I got to be honest, we're still remarkably peppy, given the goings-on on the West Coast this week. I was in Seattle, Federal Way, Friday night, Saturday in Boise, Idaho, and then flew cross-country on Sunday, went right to the Rangers game with my son Lincoln, and got pretty rowdy, yet despite the skeptics' claims, this has been a pretty sharp show so far. It's a tough critics in the control room. But you know what? I'll piggyback off their criticisms, because as we roll into the eclipse hour of the show, and people are excited. We haven't had one of these in 7 years. We're not going to have another one till 2044. Which would be right in the middle of President Honey Boo Boo's second term. So I kid. I was saying this Saturday night. We're not going to make it to 2044. The way the world's going right now, you better watch this eclipse, because 2044 is a pipe dream.
What can I tell you, kid? You're right. When you're right, you're right. You're right.
But what's happening right now, and I do find this fascinating, is the eclipse tourism. I like it. Okay, it's bringing a lot of money to markets I support. It's bringing a lot of markets to America. Okay, Arkansas, supposed to get 1.5 million visitors tonight alone. That's the most one-night stands they've had since Bill Clinton was president.
I believe that together we can make America great again.
And I should have said governor. Much better joke if I made it more specific to the state he was the governor of, where we do know Clinton was putting up some big numbers.
This is not okay.
But anyway, Jenny's home state of Ohio getting 575,000 viewers. America, my people. So I'm glad. You know, Indianapolis, where we're going to be June the 1st. If you want to go see me in Indianapolis, hey girl, tickets on sale now, foxacrossamerica.com. The big path of totality sweeps up through the Midwest and then up the northeastern seaboard into New Hampshire, places like Vermont. You know, they're going to get a good view. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited to see some money get poured into those local economies. Am I particularly excited about the eclipse itself?
The answer would be no.
I don't actually care. It's 4 minutes. I know it's cool. The sun passes the moon and all of that. And it's fine. I'm not telling you don't do it. I'm not trying to yuck your yum, as they say. But what I'm more fascinated by is a guy who's just an observer of politics and the way this stuff works is how people try to weaponize, you know, or piggyback off of emotion, off of sentiment to aid their own political agenda. And the most recent example of that I saw over the weekend is while I was flying out to Seattle. Unfortunately, there was an earthquake here on the East Coast. We don't get a lot of them. There was a 4.8 on the Richter scale. It hit primarily in New Jersey, was felt in parts of New York City. I was on a plane for all of this, so I felt like a real dirtbag watching Bill Hemmer report it on TV, knowing my wife and kid were back on the ground in New York, Lincoln heading to the Yankee game with Uncle Mikey, Jenny doing God knows what, when me and Lincoln are both out of the house and Jenny's home alone. I mean, man.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband because they're raping everybody out here.
Listen, I tell people this all the time. There is nothing more fierce than a mom with some free time on her hands, because the moms don't get a lot of free time. They're the MVPs of the world. They're out there running the house. They're out there making the kids get their homework done. They're staying on top of the husbands. You know, you got a doctor's appointment here or a thing you got to go to there. You know, the moms really are like air traffic control. But if you give them a shift off and the moms are just out now with some free... They are going for the gold. So who knows? But as I'm flying, I immediately notice when we get onto the ground in Seattle, where, my goodness, Seattle is a mess. Like, I really am pretty sure the Space Needle is filled with heroin at this point. It's a mess out there. It's a pretty city. I like the lakes. I like the mountains. But downtown Seattle, ho-ho.
This could be a problem.
It's a big problem. But the Federal Way audience was great. That being said, okay, we get a U.S. Senate candidate for New Jersey, Christina Amira Khalil, okay, who is posting in the immediate aftermath of Friday's earthquake. Okay, and of course she's trying to do this. Why? Because emotions are running high. We've got an earthquake. People are reading on the news. Breaking news, we've got an earthquake. This is one of the things, it's one of the gross sides of politics that you don't hear spoken about a lot. But whenever there's a tragedy and emotions are at the most raw point they're going to be, which is that immediate heartbreak you feel, that immediate frustration, that immediate sense of helplessness you feel when something heinous happens in the news, this happens to be the very best time to fundraise.
He knows what he's talking about.
It's gross, but that's because your emotions are running high. And getting people to reach into their pockets is all about getting them emotional. So in the immediate aftermath, when there's like a mass shooting, that's when you'll hear like, oh, the Republicans have blood on their hands. Oh, the NRA. Now, to be clear, the Republicans aren't the ones perpetrating these shootings. Neither are the NRA. And every Democrat calling for some type of gun control in the immediate aftermath of a shooting is not necessarily doing so because they believe there's even a remote chance they'll get gun control. They just know the people that support it feel helpless in moments like this, and they're far more likely to donate given the circumstances, so they send in the request.
I'm telling you, that boy's a genius!
Okay, which brings me to climate change. You know this, I know this, because we've seen it in the past. When they had a hurricane, okay, last spring, Biden went down to Florida right away.
I don't remember that ever happening.
But he did. And the first thing he said was, you know, we've all seen the effects of climate change. And, you know, we know the storms like...
You are so full of sh**.
Because we don't know that. We don't know any of this was caused by climate change. But we do know people are emotional. So Green Party member for U.S. Senate, Christina Amira Khalil, goes viral for all the wrong reasons Friday. She writes, I experienced my first earthquake in New Jersey. We never get earthquakes. The climate crisis is real. The weirdest experience ever. Okay, that is the tweet, at which point social media responds.
Get her out. Get her out of here.
She got a community note fact check immediately. She took so much heat, she ultimately deleted the post and switched her account into protect mode because everything because everything she said was absurd. But it really is a good window into how the climate movement works. They're trying to get people emotional so they will donate to the cause. They don't get you emotional by sharing facts. Why? Because the facts don't support their cause.
I think he's got a point.
Okay, you can't show me that this was caused by climate change. You can't show me the eclipse is being caused by climate change. These are predictable events. But more importantly than all of that, is you can't show me that we have any effect whatsoever to control the weather. And that's what's ultimately at stake here. We live in a world that's shared with other countries, where places like China and India have a population combined that's about 30 times the size of ours. So you understand that if they're not altering their own climate policies, what we're doing is completely irrelevant.
Correctamundo.
Okay, completely irrelevant. It does not matter. We share the climate, okay? We share the planet with these countries. So you got to look at the planet like it's a swimming pool. And at the end of the day, we can cut all of the emissions we'd like. We can be carbon neutral by 2050. Not that it's going to happen. But at the end of the day, we'll still just be sharing a swimming pool in which we think we're in the no peeing section. But at the end of the day, if we're all sharing the same pool and they're peeing in their end, guess what's happening in ours? It's so stupid. But that's where this stuff comes from. In the moment of raw emotion, you jump in with climate change, earthquake, give me some money. You know, mass shooting, which is horrible. Death, give me some money. Second Amendment's got to go. Tougher laws. Never mind that we don't enforce any of the laws that are on the books now. Think about that. Every single Democrat yelling at you for more gun laws is not enforcing any of the laws at our southern border. None of them. Okay, these people are breaking the law by entering their country. What are we doing in return? We're handing them a gift card and a hotel room.
Welcome to the Biden administration. Home to the new slogan, America Last.
I mean, good goodness. Conservative commentator, this is my favorite one, Senate candidate Christina Amira Khalil just said that climate crisis caused today's earthquake in New Jersey. Climate doesn't cause earthquakes. They're caused by tectonic plate shifting. This woman is a moron.
I admire your honesty.
And that's the reality of what we're dealing with here. Okay. Some of these people are patently stupid. All of them are patently shameless. And they're always willing to weaponize your emotions in the aftermath of a crisis, in the aftermath of some type of a tragedy or a natural disaster, because it's the easiest time to raise money. Okay, nobody ever sends you a fundraising email that goes, things are great, send some cash. No, no, no. Every one of these fights, like, we're all gonna die. Donald Trump, literally Hitler, orange Cheeto Jesus. We're in big trouble now.
Democrats are so full of crap.
That's what they do. So as we roll on towards our discussion with Daniel Turner, I just find this stuff fascinating because, you know, we do, on the other side of this thing, have another naturally occurring event today, which is called an eclipse. And I know some of you are excited. I think that's cool. Don't forget to wear your glasses. Jenny got me a pair. She put a pair, like I'm not kidding, in my jacket today. Because she thinks I'm stupid and I'm going to stare directly at the sun. So she actually like packed them for me like I'm a small child wandering off to see the world on my own and I can't be trusted to my own devices. And there's a part of me that resents that. But then there's this other part of me that knows that at my core, she's kind of right for doing it because I am a little bit of a hot mess. I'm, I'm telling you because I care. Okay, but if you are out there, if you're in the eclipse game today, okay, and you're heading out to see it, you know, whatever you do, okay, go enjoy it. I mean, it's great. You know, I don't, you know, we were talking about this morning when we were prepping the show, and I know it's startling to a lot of people that this show gets prepped. Like, we actually put a little, a moment or two into research.
Come on, don't bullshit
me.
All right, fine. But when we prep, by prep it means talking about last night's sports scores, looking ahead to what's going on in sports today. We count that as prep on this show. And one of the things we are prepping for is a rare moment of bipartisanship. And that's where you can get me to be pro-Eclipse, is it's like, for the most part, there's really not a political battle line here. There really isn't, okay? The battle line, this is one of the rare instances where you can be like, yay, Eclipse. Or you can be like, what's the point? This stuff is stupid. But either way, one way or the other, okay, we shouldn't endure another battle line in the sand. And I personally appreciate that because one of the points I'm trying to make in the show, one of the points I'm trying to make on the road, is we don't need a side to everything that goes on in society. Meaning like Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are dating. Great. Who can? Maybe they're together. Maybe they break up. It shouldn't be a political battleground at the end of the day.
When you're right, you're right. And you're right.
Listen, most celebrity couples have the life expectancy of a carnival goldfish. You know, most of which die the second you get them home and take them out of the plastic bag. You know, unless you're Butch. My father-in-law, Dave, brought Butch home from the carnival and kept putting Butch into a bigger tank. And by the end of it, Butch looked like one of those like mega fish in a sci-fi movie.
Ah! Ah, no!
He was going to bust out and eat the whole family. Butch got big. And he had some, you know, big siblings and friends. But most carnival goldfish, you know, you're betting the under on every one of these guys, you know, when you take them home. But the point is, you know, celebrity couples, we'd have, you know, oh, Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, I'm mad. Republican stuff, Democrat stuff, you know, I'm sick of it. I say this all the time. We have very little escapism. So where I'm pro-Eclipse is it should, for at least a minute, it should offer us some type of an escapist, you know, pursuit, unless some idiot tries to jump in with talk about the weather. And that's the only concern I have in this moment, and that's what we're going to talk to Turner about, is we know this eclipse has been predicted for quite some time. We also know when the next total eclipse is expected. It's in 2044. Okay, what we don't know, and we kind of have an inkling of, though, is that we're probably, as everybody's posting their eclipse selfies on Instagram, and everybody's giving their hot takes, we're probably going to run into that inevitable moment where some Democrat tells us this eclipse was beautiful and this is why we need nature to be protected and this is why you've got to send money to climate change, at which point we're just...
Shut up! Will you shut up?
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon.
That's my name. Don't wear it out.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon, Daniel Turner, right around the corner. By the way, my man Morgan Wallen gets arrested down in Nashville. He threw a chair off a rooftop bar.
That can't be good.
Not good. He's facing multiple charges. I don't know the answer on that. That's, come on, man. Come on, Morgan Wallen. You got to know how to party the right way, folks. You got to party responsibly. If you were on the road with me this weekend, you saw responsible partying. We held our lives together. People had a couple of pops. Last night at the Rangers game, I was at the Rangers game with Lincoln, Kennedy, and Dagan McDowell. And I have to tell you, I was a model citizen with the public liquor consumption.
That is balderdash and hogwash and mm-hmm.
No, it's not, McDowell. We actually did pretty well. Now, the one thing about going to a Ranger game or a Yankee game is they do keep your drinking in check because it's like $25 a beer. It's like you're only going to get so rowdy before you've got to refinance your house for another round of drinks. But when the case of somebody like Morgan Wallen, you know, obviously he's playing sold out arenas around the world, writing number one country songs. This guy's got a pretty good party budget, I would go out on a limb and guess. And he seems to be taking full advantage of it when he's on the road. But come on, Morgan Wallen, you can't be throwing stuff off the roof.
He should be behind bars.
At least that's what the authorities thought. Daniel Turner has some people he'd like to lock up and throw away the key. We're going to get into it. It's Eclipse Monday. We're already delirious. I'll blame the eclipse. Maybe it's the contact high I probably still have from Seattle. One way or the other, we'll discuss it all with the big bad Daniel Turner when we come back on the High Flying Death Defying Fox Across America.
It's America's Life Coach, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl, it is Fox Across America, as the man said. Although, if I am America's life coach, it's not good for the country.
That is correct.
We're in real bad shape. Joining us now, somebody who can maybe sing backup. Maybe he can work the flight deck and direct America. I definitely need a co-signer on that gig. He is the founder and executive director of Power the Future, and he takes time out from bailing Greta Thunberg out from jail. I know he was just down there posting bond. Daniel Turner is here. Hey, hey, hey.
Oh, Jimmy, it is great to be on your program. Thank you, brother.
Did you bail out Greta? Can we confirm?
I did. I made a special plea for her. You know, she is the prophet of our movement, and she's absolutely essential to what we do, because no one knows energy policy better than a 16-year-old Swedish girl.
Just the reason she caught my eye is I saw her arrests in the same Twitter thread where I saw the New Jersey Senate candidate who tried to blame the earthquake on climate change. Did you catch that?
Absolutely brilliant. I nearly fell on the floor when I saw it. I love it.
It's my favorite thing because, you know, the way fundraising works, and I, you know this, I was kind of, you know, sharing this with the viewer earlier and the listener earlier, is when emotions are the most raw, that's when you have to strike, which is why anytime there's a shooting, somebody dive bombs in with send me money so I can stop the NRA. None of these people believe anything. Like when you're weaponizing either a tragedy or something that's naturally occurring like an earthquake, you know, you are completely shameless to be sending that email, no?
Absolutely. Just on that point, if you send an email around, you know, this afternoon to tell people if they buy tickets to your show, you will promise there will be no more eclipses in their lifetime. Uh-huh. People will buy those tickets. They'll be like, that's good. Jimmy Vail is going to stop eclipses from happening. So you're absolutely right. You just catch the moment.
Are you not? All right, because I agree with this. And our mutual friend, Dana Perino, I don't want to out her, but I think she's a member of our club. Okay, I got the feeling. She didn't say so, but I got the feeling DP is experiencing a little bit of eclipse fatigue, and it hasn't even happened yet. Are you kind of in that movement?
I don't understand the fascination by it. Well, first of all, we need to acknowledge the eclipses caused by climate change. Right? You know, there is so much CO2 in the atmosphere that the planets are not rotating normally. but yeah, I don't understand the fascination by it. I understand the planetary movement. I know it's cool. I know that the ancients all, you know, would throw themselves in volcanoes when it happened, et cetera. But you know, there was an eclipse last night from around 8:30 till around 6 this morning. It was just longer. You know, it was darkness caused by planetary movement. It's the exact same thing. And you know, and if you miss the eclipse, don't worry. Tonight it's going to happen again. It's just going to be a little longer, but the planets will always move, and there will always be darkness caused by planetary movement. So what's the excitement?
Are you telling me you didn't book a 3-night hotel stay in Arkansas?
Number of people in is it the Indianapolis motorway?
Yeah.
There are something like 90,000 people. Does no one work?
Yeah.
You know, and then you hear these sob stories of how it was literally just watching Fox this morning. One third of Americans cannot come up with a $500 emergency fund, and that's tragic.
Yep.
But also, if one third of Americans don't have a spare $500, how many are going to the Annapolis Speedway to watch 2 hours of darkness? Does anyone have a job in this country?
A lot. A lot, apparently. We're doing it wrong. Like, and I haven't figured out how, but we put in a lot of work. You know, we built up our resumes. We fought the ground war, met the right people in our industries, and, you know, did our best.
Even drove a cab.
Even drove a cab for like a decade. But apparently there's this other thing going on that we're not a part of. Well, you don't do anything. You contribute nothing to society. But if you videotape yourself contributing that nothing and you post it on TikTok, you're doing all right.
Yeah, and I have a feeling, and this is a gross generalization, but I have a feeling a lot of the people who are taking off work to watch the eclipse are also the ones who are missing Thanksgiving dinner to camp out outside of Walmart because the fifth TV they're going to buy is $100 cheaper, right? Like, there is a certain mentality of I shirk responsibility because of fun things that are happening. And, you know, the eclipse, it's novel, it's interesting. But I'll go out and look at it for all of a half second. Otherwise, you go blind. But I'm not going to take 2 hours of my afternoon. I mean, unless there was alcohol involved. But I have a job to perform, as do most people.
You got stuff to do. So Daniel Turner is on the line. He, in addition to being the director of Power of the Future, he's also trying to end eclipses. He doesn't care. He doesn't even let you play Air Supply at his house. No, nothing with eclipse in it. Doesn't care.
Can't do it. Between the eclipse and the earthquake, Jimmy, what is happening? No wonder why Trump's selling Bibles, right? I mean, there is way too much natural disaster happening in this world in the last 3 days.
That is funny. Marjorie Taylor Greene tried that one, too. She said the earthquake was a warning shot. She caught some heat on Friday. And I'd be remiss not to bring that up. Okay, is that Marjorie Taylor Greene, like, we have people in Congress on the Republican side, and I have no problem owning this within my party. We do have people in Congress that are basically like your relative that shares any Facebook post they see as factual. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like, here's Obama refusing to acknowledge the national anthem as a presidential candidate. You're like, no, he did. It's just a photo.
Yeah, and they're not necessarily helping our cause.
No,
the reason why I have a lot more leniency for them is because ultimately they're not trying to take away my property and my rights.
Yes,
and so they may be crazy, but they're our crazy, and they're not a threat to you.
Yeah,
but they're crazy are the ones saying you can't eat meat, you can't eat. Heck, there was I'm sure you saw when James Carville was saying, mm-hmm. you know, young men are leaving the Democrat Party in droves mm-hmm. because they're constantly being told, don't drink beer, don't watch sports, don't eat meat, give up your car, give up your guns. Uh-huh. And everyone is, no, I don't know if that's the reason why men are leaving the party. Of course there's a reason leaving the party. It's an emasculated party. What guy would want to be a Democrat if they're constantly being told by the party officials that they're racist, sexist, and they shouldn't eat red meat? So they have their crazy too, but they're crazy hate life. They hate enjoyment and happiness.
Now, that's a great point. We're talking to Daniel Turner. Is our crazy doesn't want to take things away and make the government control your life. Our crazy is still at the very least like pro-freedom. It's just like, go do your own thing, which I say this all the time. If you just looked at the parties as parties, like actual parties you could attend, you'd rather party with Murica than America every time. Murica has 100%. Fun. Fireworks, booze, moonshine, okay, all the good stuff. And, you know, to the point of climate, though, and taking things away, Friday night I covered a story on Hannity where they were talking about some climate study where they said wearing jeans is actually ruining the environment.
Yes.
So we have to walk around with no pants on now, which apparently everyone in Seattle had already gotten the memo.
It's the latest thing that is causing climate, right? The cow farts and methane they've been trying for decades, mm-hmm. but there are still too many people who want to eat red meat. They do talk often about having limits on that.
Yeah.
And even if you recall back in 2019, pre-COVID, when things used to be a little more normal, when everyone was running for president, do you recall?
Yep.
They asked people like Kamala, Senator Harris, and Pete Buttigieg, are we going to take away people's cheeseburgers? Ha ha. And everyone would laugh and say, you know, we should talk about that. But that hasn't worked, right?
No.
So the meat hasn't worked. So now they have to try something else, and now they are going after agriculture. And, of course, denim, which is cotton, which requires by the way, cotton also is deeply rooted in Jim Crow and racism. So that's another reason to get rid of cotton.
Yep.
But it's also, you know, yes, they want to get rid of cotton and denim because everything causes climate change until – they just eliminate people writ large, and then there'll be no more climate change. When we're all dead, which we may be from the eclipse in a couple hours, who knows? When we're all dead, there'll be no more climate worries.
A lot of people don't know. The dinosaurs were actually wiped out by the fact that T-Rex was a climate activist. It's like...
If the aliens come, I mean, quite honestly, Jimmy, if the aliens come in the middle of the eclipse in a little while, would anyone be disappointed? Like, just get it over with. Just kill it. You're like, we're tired. We can't make it to November, you know. The Yankees have started off great, so at least we got that.
8-2, Turner. 8-2.
The Yankees have started off great, but we're not going to get our hopes up yet.
No. We've seen this movie. We've seen this movie. Oh, that's so really funny.
Just end it. Just end it. We're all tired. Just eclipse, take us away.
The aliens are going to land, right, at like an eclipse gathering today at 3:30. They're going to hear some woke liberal remind the crowd that they're observing an eclipse on stolen land. And then the aliens
are going to land in New York City, and they're going to get killed by a Venezuelan gang.
By actual aliens.
Exactly. That is the most scary planet in the galaxy. Get us the hell out of here.
The aliens are going to land in New York, and they're going to have their hubcaps stolen by a migrant street gang. It's like, we got to get out of here. We can't. It's not good.
And Eric Adams will assure us that is just propaganda. That New York is the safest place for all aliens, outer space or illegal. All are welcome in New York.
It's my favorite thing in the world. So politics on the left has become this Eddie Murphy bit. There was an Eddie Murphy bit in Delirious where he talks about, he's like cheating on women. He's like, and there's this moment where she actually walks in and catches you in the act. He goes, and you have nothing you can possibly say, but you track her down an hour later and you go, it wasn't me. You go, it wasn't me. And that's what we're doing now as politicians on the left. It's like people are getting thrown on the subway tracks in New York City. Adam's like, no, it wasn't me. You didn't see that. You didn't see that.
Exactly.
That's what we're doing.
Redefine crime, redefine numbers, and then you say the numbers are great.
Yeah.
Right? If we just, change diabetes numbers, everyone in America would be healthy, right? If we just changed, fat numbers, everyone would be thin.
Yep.
It's great. Well, we do this with education, right? Mm-hmm. At this point, if you can name 15 letters in the alphabet, we declare them literate, and we say, look, our numbers are fantastic. We have the smartest kids in all of the world because we just changed the numbers, and that's what they're doing in this case as well.
It's true. All right, so Daniel Turner, you have convinced me to root for the aliens. Aliens, if you're out there, come land in America. Biden will give you a gift card. You get a pre-K gift card now. They get health care. It's a good time to be an alien. Turner, we love you. Happy eclipse. Have fun today.
Enjoy it, Jimmy. Thank you for having me on.
My man. There he goes. The great Daniel Turner. There we go. Back after this.
It's the number one show with humans and animals.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Bottom of the ninth on Fox Across America with your radio buddy, Jimmy Failla. It's eclipse time around the country. If you're listening on WIBX up in Utica, you guys are supposed to have a pretty good view outside of Rome. I'm hearing good things. My Long Island people, the Westchester Long Island crowd, I'm probably going to be on the roof of my mom's house. My mom likes to get people onto the roof of the house for like 4th of July fireworks and stuff like this. The problem is over the years, it's become harder and harder to fit through the window that gets onto our garage.
That boy is a P.I.G. pig.
Yeah, this might be the year we finally go with a ladder and just get up there. But yeah, if you're out at Marianne Faila's house in Levittown, you're probably going to get some good eclipse viewing. If you're up in Buffalo, that whole area, Plattsburgh, Rochester, go watch the eclipse. The basic path is it's so funny. It's supposed to come up into the country through Mexico. Like pretty much everything else that goes on these days, it comes up into our country through Mexico. And it'll make its way across Texas. And certainly Arkansas is going to get a good view. And, they'll get into Ohio right there. And parts of eastern Kentucky will get a fleeting, fleeting glimpse. And, listen. I like this stuff for no other reason than it truly should be politics free. Is it going to work out that way? No. By the end of the eclipse, we're going to be fighting. We're going to be fighting. But the thing that I'm so fascinated by is when it comes to stuff like this, okay, say you're up in Burlington, Vermont. Say you're listening on VMT right now. I know a lot of you are. Okay, people really do flock to the area to see this stuff. There's been hype for about 2 weeks now, but the thing lasts 4 minutes, and it's like it never happened. Like, we won't be talking about this tomorrow. Like, we won't be talking about this by the end of the day today. And that's this fascinating aspect of the world we live in now, this whole prisoner of the moment mentality, is that whatever we're focused on as a country, okay? Our gaze is so omnipotent because of social media and the presence of the 24-hour news cycle and the fact that algorithms, you know, will censor the top, you know, content and just drive it towards you, and you drink it out of a fire hose. And most people can't think beyond the blast. So on a day like today that's Eclipse Monday, there's a lot of people that are going, this is the greatest, the biggest, craziest, oh my goodness. And I'm not telling you it's not cool. I'm just telling you it's one of those things we hype up so much that it sounds like the most amazing thing in the world until you're doing it, at which point you realize, ah, oh yeah.
That's true. That is true.
That being said, I want you to enjoy your eclipse, and I would like to believe, we can get through this without it turning into like a climate fight or, you know, this is why we can't elect Trump or some stupid like that. I have no idea. Okay, but I can root. I can root for those happy endings as a guy who cares, who wants you to have an outlet from fighting over politics day in and day out. Because the truth is, and this is a secret I know, but I'm amazed that most people in media haven't figured it out, everything we fight over in politics is the same as it was 40 years ago. The only difference is we fight differently because of social media. Now we're in the phone 24 hours a day. You know, when you disagreed about the border in the 80s, the guy you disagreed with at a holiday or, you know, some type of back and forth at a bar, you didn't see again for weeks or months. Now you disagree with people and they live in your phone 24 hours a day, so you can never get away from them. Ergo, the disagreements are a lot more hostile.
Somebody ought to belt you in the mouth.
That's basically what happens.
Never hit anyone in anger unless you're absolutely sure you can get away with it.
Now, I am fascinated by how the animals are going to react. Because I was reading how in 2017 at the zoos, okay, gorillas marched together during the eclipse. Giraffes ran around their enclosure intensely. Some of the turtles actually started breeding. I'm not kidding. During the eclipse, they had an upshot in turtle breeding.
I love it when you talk dirty.
That's got to take a minute. The turtles get a little frisky. But the point is, I'm fascinated by the animal reaction. I don't really care about your selfies that you're going to Photoshop on Instagram. Okay, it's a natural phenomenon. And the most supposed to be like one of the most beautiful things you'll ever witness if you're into this type of celestial stuff. That being said, everybody will go out and Photoshop this. It's so crazy. And then the other aspect of this, you know, in terms of people, is, yeah, you'll get some hot takes. Somebody might even politicize it. I don't care. Moments like this really do bring me back to the teachings of my grandma Fela. My grandma Fela would tell me animals are so much better than people. And she would tell me, you know, they've got animals out there that are smarter than people. And having covered Congress for the better part of the last 4 years, I can confirm that they have a lot of animals that are smarter than people.
We have people in Washington that don't know what they're doing.
Do they ever? But today's a good day to give them a timeout. Go watch the eclipse. Go not watch the eclipse, but be grateful for like one day you're going to get 4 or 5 hours in the news cycle that aren't so politically divisive. And I try to give that to you every day on the radio. I try to give it to you every Saturday night on TV. But there's not a lot of me out there. I'm the only idiot trying to help the world. But the world is going to help you today, if for no other reason than it'll give you a timeout. So take it. Go enjoy your day. Crack open a cool one if that's how you roll. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life, but one way or the other, the show is over. Pay up. Get out. Happy eclipse. Be a Republican. Be a Democrat. Just don't be a...
Jason in the House, the Jason Chaffetz Podcast. Dive deeper than the headlines and the party lines as I take on American life, politics, and entertainment. Subscribe now on foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.